The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. While Jesus was speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome, welcome once again, everybody. How about two little thoughts this morning instead of one? Two for the price of one, right? One catechetical, okay? And one spiritual thought. First of all, a catechetical thought. Someone came to Jesus and said, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." Now, if you're a cradle Catholic, you know that the Blessed Virgin Mary was ever virgin, right? If the question is posed to you, how many brothers and sisters does Jesus have, right? Easy. The answer, zero. Mary had only one child, and that child was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she was ever virgin her entire life. If you're a cradle Catholic, that's easy pie, right? But if you're from outside the church, or if you're a recent convert, this can be a very confusing point. And you ask the very legitimate question that if Jesus doesn't have any brothers and sisters in the flesh by the Blessed Virgin Mary, well then why does the Bible say that he did? And the simple answer is that the Bible doesn't say that he did. Okay? What we have to understand is that in common biblical parlance, the term brother and sister is used very, very broadly. It's used to refer to every kind of relationship. Uncles and aunts and nieces and nephews and kinsmen of all sorts. In the book of Genesis, Lot is called Abraham's brother, when in fact Lot is Abraham's nephew. If you go to the book of Tobit, even the archangel Raphael is referred to as brother. Okay, so it's a very, very broadly used term. I could talk about this for a long time, but can I give you just one ace in the hole? If this ever comes up, okay, the simplest argument about the perpetual virginity of Mary comes from the Gospel of John. At the moment of the crucifixion, and you know the story. From the cross, Jesus says to Mary and to John, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." If Mary had any other children with Joseph, if Jesus had any brothers and sisters in the flesh, that would have been illegal. The care of the Blessed Virgin Mary would have passed by Jewish law to the next of kin. The only reason Jesus can say that is because Mary was ever virgin. Little catechetical thought for you, just for something to think about, if that ever comes up as an argument. But here's my real point today, okay? A little spiritual idea for you. And that is about the importance of obedience. Who are my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand, he said, "Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is brother and sister and mother." In the families of this world, relationships are established by blood, and they begin with the covenant of holy matrimony. But in the new family of God, the only blood that matters is the blood of Jesus Christ. And our closeness with one another is inseparable from our closeness with God. That's why the more we follow our Lord in obedience, the closer we draw to him and the closer we draw to one another. This is the spiritual value of obedience. St. Thomas Aquinas said that from among the moral virtues, it's the highest one because in obedience, it's yourself that you sacrifice. Not just something, but someone, it's yourself that you sacrifice when you live out the very difficult virtue of obedience. St. Teresa of Avila said that you draw closer to God by obedience than you do by prayer. Okay, because it's just so very difficult. Remember I mentioned that Jesus didn't go to the cross because of poverty. Jesus didn't go to the cross because of chastity. Jesus went to the cross because of obedience. When they canonize a saint, let me tell you, if they find any disobedience in that person's life, their case is dead. Obedience to what, you might say? Well, first of all, obedience to the commandments, okay? Even though you slip and you fall. Obedience to all legitimate human authority. And I do believe that it is important to mention that an unjust law is no law at all. Okay, but obedience to all legitimate human authority, and this is really the hardest one, obedience to the church. It's so difficult. You might think that, you know, because I'm a priest, that obedience to the church, that's just easy to say because, you know, you're just telling people, you know, be obedient to the pastor, be obedient to the bishop. Let me tell you, it's very difficult for everybody no matter what. Because there's a constant temptation to want to be better than the church. You know, you're above the church, or maybe you want to be below the church, or maybe you want to be ahead of the church, or maybe you want to be behind the church, but we want to be with the church, and it's very, very difficult. Remember, there's a priest conference in the Archdiocese of Chicago with the late Cardinal Francis George. And one of the older priests gets up, and he says, "Cardinal, I want you to tell all these young priests to stop living in the past. Stop trying to bring back the past. I want you to tell them all this is not 1955. Cardinal George says, "I want to tell all the young priests this is not 1955. And he turns to the priest who said it and says, "And I want to tell you it's not 1975. It's very difficult to be obedient to the church, but this is so essential, because by being obedient to the church, we're obedient to the Lord. It always makes me cringe whenever people talk about the institutional church or organized religion. Imagine if somebody said that about your family. And your family is an organized institution. You'd say, first of all, we're completely disorganized, right? You don't know us at all. But no, the church is not something, it's someone. We're not an organization, we're an organism. And we're alive with one life, with the blood of Christ that binds us more closely than any blood on this earth. It's why I begin every homily, deliberately now. It's not just habit. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Something to think about and something to pray about, especially as you come forward to the table of the Eucharist that provides us with the very body and blood that makes us one, the table that binds us together in the covenant of life that will find its fullness in the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray that we draw ever closer to our Lord in holy obedience, through him and with him and in him. Amen.